Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Solomon writes, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags itself along and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the earth as it was and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Breath of breath, says the preacher, all is breath. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Amen. Well, J.I. Packer was one of the most influential theologians of the 20th century. His book, Knowing God, has shaped generations of Christians, deepening their understanding of who God is and what it looks like to walk with him. For decades, Packer's life revolved around books. His life revolved around books, whether it was a Bible or the work of a Puritan or a manuscript that he was working on. Reading and writing were just things that he did. They were his joy. In fact, they were his calling in life. Then at the age of 89, something happened. His eyesight began to fail. Macular degeneration, a slow, relentless disease, began stealing his vision. And just like that, the very thing that had defined his ministry for decades was taken from him. He could no longer read the books he loved. He could no longer use his beloved typewriter, and he could no longer even see the pages of his Bible. The gift that God had given him was slipping away, and there was nothing he could do to stop it. Packer, of course, being the godly man he was, accepted that this was God's will. He received it as something that had come from the hand of his faithful Creator. This is the reality of life in a fallen world. Our bodies wear down. Our strength fades. This is what happens with old age. And Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, paints a poetic but realistic picture of the aging process. Eventually, the gifts we enjoy now will fade. We don't stay strong forever. We don't stay here forever. This book talks a lot about death. Solomon tells us that if we really want to learn how to live, well, then we should go to a funeral. He said it is better to go to the house of mourning. to take in the reality that one day your friends and family are going to gather around your graveside. Only when we remember that life is fleeting can we truly see that life is a gift. But what about growing old? What about when the gifts of this life start slipping away before we die? How is life still a gift when we lose the ability to do the things that we once loved? When our hands grow weak, when our minds slow down, when the joys we once took for granted start fading away, how do we still rejoice? When the gifts slip away, do we still love God? The God who gives and takes away? That's the real test. Do we love him more than ever? Or do we resent him for what we lost? Old age doesn't just take away our strength, it exposes our hearts. Solomon's wisdom is so helpful here. And the sermon summary for this morning, what I hope you take with you is this: as life's gifts fade, only those who remember their Creator will have lasting hope. As life's gifts fade, only those who remember their Creator will have lasting hope. Well, before Solomon reflects on the struggles of old age, he speaks to the young in verse 1. We looked at this 2 weeks ago, but let's recap. It's good to go over it again. Solomon says in verse 1, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. In other words, don't wait. Remember your Creator now. Remember the one who made you, the one who made all things, the one who made this world, the one who made it good. Remember him. And when Solomon says to remember here, he doesn't just mean to mentally recall. To remember your Creator is to respond to him, to know him, to trust him, to obey him. And Solomon says to do this when you're young. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Come to Christ when you are young. Give God the prime of your life. Give him the best years of your life, not just what's left over when you're old and tired. Serve him now. Remember him. And do this before the evil days come. The evil days of old age. The days when life gets harder. When your body starts falling apart, and when joy becomes harder to find. And those days will come faster than you think. I think all the old people in the room would agree with me that life goes by way faster than you think. One day you're young and strong and full of energy, and then you wake up the next morning and you're not. So enjoy your youth. Don't waste it. See it as a gift that won't last forever. Remember your Creator. Come to Christ. Follow Jesus. Live for God while you're young, because the evil days of old age are coming. And that's what Solomon talks about in verses 2 to 5. He gives us this poetic but very sobering picture of what old age looks like. Doug O'Donnell says that these verses contain beautiful imagery about a harsh reality. Look at verse 2. Solomon says, "A day is coming when the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain." There's coming a day when the lights will go out. Back in chapter 11, verse 7, Solomon said that light is sweet, right? And it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. But here in verse 2, he tells us that a day is coming when the light is going to go dark. And life will be filled with cloud after cloud. When you're young, you go through hard times, but you bounce back. You can recover. But when you're old, hard times just keep on coming. It's one thing after another. One fall turns into a trip to the hospital, which turns into rehab, which turns into another complication. These are the evil days of which you will say, "I have no pleasure in them." And then starting in verse 3, Solomon gets very specific. And in these verses, he compares an elderly person with a house that is slowly crumbling with decay. Look at verse 3. He says, "In the day when the keepers of the house tremble." The keepers of the house are your arms and your hands. Hands that once gripped tightly. Hands that once built things and protected and worked hard. Well, now they shake and they tremble. This reminds me of my dad. When I was a kid, I thought my dad was the strongest man in the world. His hands were strong. It felt like he could lift anything. It felt like he could fix anything with his hands. But now he has a condition where his hands shake uncontrollably. That's what happens when you age. The strength that you rely on today won't be there forever. You can hit the gym, you can build up those biceps, but one day your arms are just going to be weak. One day the hands that you once used for everything will fail you. Strength is fleeting. And it's not just the hands. Solomon goes on, he says, "And the strong men are bent." The strong men are most likely in reference to the legs. Right now, your legs can carry your weight. You can run and you can jump and climb without a second thought. But the day is coming when that will change. One day, standing up will take effort. One day, climbing stairs will feel like climbing a mountain. One day, you'll need help just to walk across a room. And Solomon continues, "And the grinders cease because they are few." The grinders are our teeth. And he says they cease because they are few, meaning they start falling out. You won't have your teeth forever. You ever wonder why older people like soup and mashed potatoes? It's because their teeth aren't what they used to be. One day eating won't be as easy or enjoyable as it once was. Solomon just keeps on going. "And those who look through the windows are dimmed." As you age, your vision fades. One day you'll squint at menus. You'll hold your phone out like this just to read a text. And there's a name for it. It's called presbyopia. Presbyopia, which sounds like a disease that Presbyterians get. But it's not. Presby means old, and opia means eye or vision. So it literally means old eyes. It's this gradual decline of your eye's ability to focus on nearby objects. That's presbyopia. It starts in your 40s, and then it just gets worse. One day, your hands will shake. Your legs will get weak. Your teeth will fall out, and your eyes will grow dim. And that's not it. Solomon keeps on going. Look at verse 4. And the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low. This refers to the loss of hearing. The doors of your ears will slowly close. The sounds you once heard clearly, like laughter and conversations and music, will eventually grow muffled. And then Solomon says, and one rises up at the sound of a bird. If you've ever lived with an old person, you know they tend to wake up early. Not because they want to. The strange thing is that their hearing is fading, and yet somehow the tiniest sounds wake them up, like the sound of a bird. And then the irony is, while their sleep is restless, you won't be able to enjoy music like you used to. Solomon says, and all the daughters of song are brought low. Your ability to enjoy sound, especially music, will fade. So even though you'll wake up at every little noise, you'll have a hard time hearing the things you actually want to hear. Then in verse 5, Solomon says, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. Old age brings fears that never crossed your mind when you were young. Think about how fearless you were when you were younger. Our son Zeke will climb on the highest thing he can climb on and just jump off, no fear whatsoever. Maybe in your youth, you climbed trees or you rode roller coasters. But one day that fearlessness will be gone. Simple things like stairs or ladders or even escalators will make you nervous. They'll make you feel unstable. You should see me hanging Christmas lights. My legs are shaking and I'm fearful of falling. And Solomon tells us here that it only gets worse the older you get. Then Solomon says, the almond tree blossoms. An almond tree in full bloom is covered with these beautiful white flowers. This is a poetic way of saying that your hair will turn white. So as you age, your hair will turn white or gray. And then he says, the grasshopper drags itself along, will eventually lose mobility. One day you won't move like you used to. Maybe you'll need a cane or a walker. And then he says, desire fails. And the New American Standard Bible, which is a very literal translation, says the caperberry is ineffective. And the caperberry was an aphrodisiac in the ancient world that helped with sexual desire. But in old age, even that won't work. Eventually, your sex drive will go away. So one day, your hands will shake, your legs will get weak, your teeth will fall out, your eyes will grow dim, your hearing will fade, your sleep will be restless, your fears will grow, your hair will turn white or fall out, your mobility will slow down, and your desires will weaken. And then Solomon says, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Old age ends in death. He says, man goes to his eternal home. To die is to go to our eternal home. We won't live forever. No matter how strong you are, no matter how healthy, no matter how well you take care of your body, eventually it will give out. Your time on earth will be finished. And people will mourn, hopefully. Solomon says the mourners are out in the streets. I think of those funeral processions in New Orleans where the brass band leads the way with people following behind mourning the loss of a loved one. That body that was aging and deteriorating has now finally given out. This is coming for you and for me. So don't miss the warning here. Old age is coming. Remember your Creator now. While you still have the time. While you still have strength. While you still have life. Because one day you won't. And then verse 6 gives images that are more difficult to interpret. Some commentators don't even try. They just say that whatever these symbols specifically mean, the point is clear. The end is brutal, and everything that once worked will either snap, break, or shatter. But let's still walk through what Solomon says and think about what these images might mean. Solomon says in verse 6, before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken. Some think that this could refer to the spine or the brain. One day, they'll no longer work. Your spine will give out. Your brain will stop functioning. Your body will shut down. And then Solomon says, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain. The Puritan William Bridge wrote a really long extended section about this specific verse, which is classic for the Puritans. But he thought that this was talking about the bladder. Others think that this refers to the heart failing. The pitcher is shattered at the fountain. Either way, it's something vital. A shattered pitcher means that it doesn't work anymore. It can't do its job. Then the wheel broken at the cistern. This could be talking about the lungs or the nervous system. And again, whatever these things truly represent, the main point is that everything that once worked is now broken. The body has finally failed. And so in verse 7, Solomon says, and the dust returns to the earth as it was. And the dust returns to the earth as it was. These words are highly intentional. Solomon, again, is using creation language. In fact, he's reminding us of the curse of sin. Our bodies were formed from the dust and will return to the dust. He's using the same words that God used with Adam after he had sinned. In Genesis 3:19, God said to Adam, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." This is the fate of every human being. In Adam, we all have sinned. And in Adam, we will all die. Death comes for all of us. There's no exceptions. There's no loopholes. There's no avoiding it. We will all eventually die. Now, you should take care of yourself. You will be held responsible for the body that the Lord has given you. And so physical exercise is good. Eating well is good. But no amount of healthy living will keep you from dying. You could go to the gym 6 days a week. You could get up every morning and run 5 miles. You could cut out sugar, carbs, and all processed foods. You could eat only organic, non-GMO foods with zero seed oils. And guess what? You're still gonna die. Just like the guy who eats McDonald's every day. Yes, taking care of your health might prolong your life, but it will not prevent you from dying. Eventually, no matter what, no matter how well you treat your body, it will break down. Your muscles will weaken, your energy will fade, your heart will stop, and you'll take your last breath. And then you'll return to the dust. But Solomon says something very important here. We don't just return to the dust. He also says the spirit will return to God who gave it. Although Solomon didn't have a full understanding of the afterlife, he did understand that death is not the end. The spirit is separated from the body at death and returns to the God who gave it. Even though our bodies will start falling apart and finally give out, our lives don't end when the dust returns to dust. And knowing this keeps us sane when someone that we deeply love dies. Because we as Christians mourn, but not as those who have no hope. To know that the Spirit returns to the God who gave it gives us hope. It gives us peace that the grave doesn't have the last word. And in light of the full revelation of Scripture, we know why there's hope. Because Jesus Christ has conquered death, and in Him we will rise. He says in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. The dust returns to the earth and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And then in verse 8, Solomon ends how he started this book. With breath of breath, says the preacher, all is breath. Everything is fleeting. Everything is temporary. Youth is a vapor. Old age is a vapor. Life is a vapor. It's like that warm breath on a cold morning. It's there one moment and then gone the next. Life, which is a gift, will be over before you know it. And the only way to enjoy this life is to see it as a fleeting gift. But as those gifts start to fade, as age sets in, as your body weakens, old age can be a very dangerous time. Solomon calls these days the evil days. The days of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. The Puritan William Bridge, in his book, A Word to the Aged, warns that the elderly are not only hindered by physical decline, but also by sinful temptations. He points out that older people can become covetous, longing for the things that they used to enjoy, but they can't anymore. They can become fearful, worrying about what is to come. They can become proud, thinking that they know more than others and become unteachable. They can become hard to please, full of complaints, and always dissatisfied. These are real dangers. These sins may seem pleasurable now, but think about what they'll feel like when you're laying there on your deathbed. Don't believe the lie that old age gives you a pass on sanctification. Spiritual growth doesn't stop just because you lived a long life. Holiness is a lifelong pursuit right up until your final breath. And so if you're in this season of life, beware. Beware of those temptations. Guard your heart. Keep your affections on Christ. Because growing old and facing death are some of the hardest experiences in life. But old age doesn't have to be bitter. It could actually be a season of deep joy. For those who have walked with God for years, who have learned to enjoy the gifts without clinging to them, they know that there's something even better waiting for them on the other side. And so as you age, as the gifts slip away, look to God for growing old grace. That's the kind of man that I want to be. I don't want to be cranky and bitter, complaining about what I've lost. I want to be a wise, loving man, full of joy and gratitude. I want my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to actually want to be around me. I want them to listen with joy as I testify to God's faithfulness to me. And when my last days come, I want them to see a man who is excited to see Jesus. I want their memories of me to point them to my God and my Savior. One day, our final breath will come. Right now, some of us might think of that day with fear or uncertainty, maybe wondering how we're going to handle it when it comes. But God will give us all the grace we need. He is the God of all grace. He is the God who sustains our faith. But be ready for tomorrow by taking care of your relationship with God today. Remember your Creator. Make sure your walk with Jesus is strong. Be grounded in His Word. Fill your minds and your hearts with the promises of God. Fix your eyes on Christ and long for eternity. Because when that day comes, you don't want to be scrambling, trying to prepare at the last moment. Take care of your relationship with God now. So as the Puritan William Bridge said, then when you come to die, you have nothing else to do but die. That when you take your last breath, you just step into the arms of your Savior. Because for those who belong to Christ, death is not the end. It's just the doorway to eternal life. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And Jesus Himself promised. He said, "This is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." That's our confidence, that Jesus will hold us, that He will sustain us, and one day He will raise us up to everlasting life. But if you're here this morning, and you haven't believed in Jesus, that won't be your experience. When Solomon says that at death, man goes to his eternal home, that's just not poetic language. That's an eternal reality. For those who are united to Christ by faith, their eternal home is with God, safe and secure. But for those who don't believe, for those who reject Jesus, their eternal home is hell. If you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you don't trust in his work on the cross, then you will bear the punishment for all of your sins. If you remain in unbelief, you will face the judgment of a holy God, and that judgment is eternal. It's forever. And so I urge you this morning, repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. Trust in his finished work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And this promise, this confidence will be yours. Life is fleeting. Turn to Christ. Remember your Creator. Some of you may know the name Don Carson or D.A. Carson. He's one of the great gifts to the church, an amazing New Testament scholar. But right now he's suffering from Parkinson's. And that mind that once wrote all these helpful books and commentaries, that mind that helped train up students and pastors for the ministry, that mind is now failing. And when he was asked about it, Carson said this: "This is nothing that the resurrection won't fix." That's the hope. One day, our broken bodies will be made new. One day, every disease will be undone. One day, every failing mind and every trembling hand will be restored. And all the joys that we experience in this life, all of them, they point to the greater joy that we will experience when we are in glory with Jesus Christ. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Life is fleeting. Enjoy it while you have it. Laugh, work hard, enjoy good food and drink, worship God, love deeply, and remember your Creator. As life's gifts fade, only those who remember their Creator will have lasting hope. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for every breath and every moment and every joy that you've given us. But we are reminded today that life is fleeting, that our strength will fade, our bodies will fail, and one day we will return to the dust. And Lord, we rejoice though, because death is not the end. And for those who belong to Christ, our hope is in the resurrection. The gifts of this life will slip away, but the greatest gift, eternal life with you, will never be taken away. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to live in light of that hope, that you would teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that you would keep us from clinging to the things of this world and instead fix our hearts on Christ. And help us to not waste the days that you've given us. Help us to enjoy them while we have them. Help us to remember our Creator now while we still have the time, while we still have strength, while we still have life. And when our final breath comes, may we be found ready, knowing that in your presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And until that day, sustain our faith Give us the grace to grow old with joy and to face death without fear. And let our lives and even our deaths point others to the Savior who has conquered the grave. We thank you for Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. In his name we pray. Amen.